I looked yesterday at Ebenezer in Hilchas Gittin. There's a whole section about Shemus Gittin, how to spell the names properly. So under the letter, they have separate Shmos Anoshim, then they have Shmos Noshim, women's names. So the first name on the Shmos Anoshim is Pinchas. They discuss the spelling. So they point out that the name Pinchas is always spelled in Tanakh Mole with a Yud, except for one place. They never have a chance to look where the one place is. Then they quote the Zohar, says Fakir, that the name Pinchas is always spelled Chos, except for one place, the opening Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. But in our Tanakh, it's not like in the Zohar, it's always spelled Mole, except for that one place, I think it's Dira Yom. So a lot of Acharanim write that even if, so I would have thought that both, either spelling is correct, like the name David, sometimes spelled with a Yod, sometimes spelled without a Yod, so I would have thought that. However, the person himself signs his name, that would be acceptable. So here, most of the poskim say that even if he personally signs his name Chaser, he should still write Mole, because that's the correct spelling, is with a Yud. They say, B'dievet, if they spelled it without a Yud, and he personally spells it without a Yud, B'dievet, it would be good. But they have a whole discussion. That's the first name under the letter Pei. The Pasuk says, Bekano es kinosi besoicham, that Vayikane lelakov, the Pasuk says, he was Mekane to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the last week's Sedra, Boel Aram is kanoi in Pogimbo, so he was a kanoi. so he was Pagebo, so he killed the Zimri ben Solom. And in the Haftorah, we read about Eliyahu Anovi, Kano Kinoisi Lashem. So that's what leads one opinion in the Gemara to think that Pinchas is Eliyahu. The Gemara has different opinions, who Eliyahu Anovi was. We don't know Eliyahu HaGilodi. We don't know exactly what Shevet he was from. So some claim Pinchas Eliyahu, he was a Kohen. If he was Pinchas, he was a Kohen. Tosis in the end of Bob Metzia, famous Tosis, his father was a Kasha. If he was a Kohen, how could it be Metame to the mace? How was he Mechai the mace? So Tosis answers that it was Bikuach Nefesh. That was Bikuach Nefesh. To take a mace and to bring him back to life is Bikuach Nefesh. But then Tosis writes a Loshen, it was Borolo, it was a Vadois, that if he'll work with the baby, he'll be able to bring him back to life. So that's what Achreinim are bothered with Akasha. Sofi Pekoch Nefesh is also Decha Kol HaTor Kula. You have Kohanim Aran Hatzola, and there's the Metame to a person who seems to be dead, the Metame to the mace, in the hope that maybe they'll be able to bring it back to life. Sofi Pekoch Nefesh is also Metame to a mace. May turn out that he's so dead that you can't revive him. Okay, but you tried. So Sofi Pekoch Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTor Kula. So that's what they ask. Why does Tosis say that it was Borolom Sheyichayehu? So the Poshup Shot in Tosis is, if a person is mamish dead, and you think that you may have a chance of making a miracle to bring him back to life, that's not even called the Sofi Pekoch Nefesh. Let's say someone is dead in China. There's a rabbi dead in China, and I think that by turning on the light switch here in New York, I may be able to revive him. Why in the world should you think that's not even a suffix? A miracle maker. So if you have a dead person and you have a koyach of an ovi, so sometimes you have the ability to be mechayim mason, but that's not called a suffix sakonis nefoshes, because maybe you'll be able to milam anateva, maybe you'll be able to bring someone back to life. The Pashtus is that if not for the fact that it was Borolo Sheyichayehu, wouldn't even be considered a suffix Sakonis Nefosh. That's the Pashup Shot. But the Netziv has a whole fantastic suggestion in his commentary on the Shiltis. He has a whole original interpretation in the Tesis. He says that V'chai Bohem Elo Sheyomus Bohem in Parsha Zachrei Mois is the mocker for the institution of Pikuach Nefesh, that is Decha Kol HaTor Kula. So that only applies to a person who's alive, to preserve his life. If a person is dead, you want to bring him back from the dead. That's not, even if it's a vadois that you can bring him back from the dead, that's not called Bikuach Nefesh. That's not doicha anything. But it's a different part. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Shomer b'nei Yisrael san Shabbos. La'asos san Shabbos ador asam. So the Gemara somehow sees in that pasuk, Chalel olav Shabbos achas, kadei sheyishma Shabbos as harbi. The Gemara in the last parak in Yuma has a whole discussion on Yom Kippur from the days of Maimon HaSinai on, there were people who couldn't fast on Yom Kippur because they're going to fast, they're going to die. Sick old people. So yeah, the women giving birth to babies on Shabbos, people getting sick on Shabbos. So there were always, from day number one, there was always an issue of Pikoch Nefesh. In the Sefer Achashmanoim, so they write there that the first time in the history of the world that the rabbis came up with the het of Pikoch Nefesh to wage war on Shabbos was in the days of the Achashmanoim. Maybe to wage war, an offensive war, but Pikoch Nefesh, Shaila came up all the time. What do you mean? In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they let people die on Shabbos, they didn't treat them, and they let people die on Yom Kippur. A lot of people are going to die every Yom Kippur. That's ridiculous. A normal Pikoch Nefesh, Rav Neria has a whole essay about that, Moshe Tzvi Neria. So he says, of course, from day number one, there was always a Dib Pikoch Nefesh, is there a Kol HaTarku. Can't be that was Nischarish in the days of the Hashmonah. Maybe in Hilchas Melchama, something was Nischarish. Because Melchama, if you'll say Pikoch Nefesh is Decha, so you should never go to battle, because you always know whenever you go to war, some of the Jewish soldiers are going to get killed. So let's always give in to the enemy. So that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush atar, that you're allowed to go to war, even though you're putting Jewish lives into sakon, even though you're going to kill the enemy. The enemy, let's say, is not coming to kill the Jews. They just want to take away Medina Israel. They just want to take away they want to take over Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says you go to war on Shabbos over that. That's a Melchemes Mitzvah. See, a lot of people call Shabbos. That's not Pikoch Nefesh. That's a Melchemes Mitzvah Decha Shabbos. And maybe some aspects of Melchemes and Shabbos when it's Chadosh in the days of the Chashmonai. But the principle of Pikoch Nefesh was always known. So the Gemara says, how do you know there's a din in Pikoch Nefesh Decha Yom Kippur? I don't know it's Decha Shabbos. I know it's Decha Kol HaTarku. The Gemara gives different Tanoim and give different suggestions. Till finally, one of the Amoraim gives this suggestion. Gemara says that hits the spot. That Rosh is the best Rosh. It covers all the cases. And each case of the Tanoim, each Rosh of the Tanoim didn't cover all the cases. So one Tana came up with this Rosh. We're not sure exactly where he sees this in the Pasuk. V'shomer b'nezos ha-shabos, chalel olav shabos achas kadei sheishma shabos esarbe. If your person is sick on Shabbos, you have Mechal Shabbos today, so it'll be one Chil Shabbos. I'll drive him to the hospital. I'll be Mechal Shabbos for half an hour till I drive him to the hospital. And then they'll save his life there. And by saving his life, he'll live on many more Shabbos. And then the end result will be that there'll be much more Shmira Shabbos. There was a half an hour Chil Shabbos today, but in the end result, there'll be much more Shmira Shabbos. That's Chatei B'Shvil Shetiska, Chatei B'Shvil Shiyiska Havercha. The Gemara says, "V'chiyam ramla l'adam chatei b'shvil shetiske." The Gemara says in the first parak of Masech HaShabbos, the Gemara has a discussion on Dav Dalit. Someone forgot that you're not allowed to bake bread on Shabbos, and he put bread into the oven. So if you take it out before Kareem Aspanim, so there's no malocha. The malocha of Oif is only completed, it's only chal, when it's Kareem Aspanim B'tano. Let's say you put food on top, you put raw food on top of the fire on Shabbos. When it becomes mevushal, k'maychal ben derisoi, then the malacha is nigmar. So if you take it off of the fire, before it becomes k'machal ben derisoi, let's say I forgot and I put some food on the fire, then someone else is going to take it off the fire. So he saved me chil Shabbos. But the shaila is, in the days of the Gemara, when they would bake bread, so they would they wouldn't put it on a baking tin, and then it was finished, take out the baking tin. They would put it on the walls of the oven. So the Gemara says that to remove Rediyas HaPas is Chochma Veinim Balocha. The Gemara says it's awesome of the Rabbanim. To scrape off the dough from the side of the oven, that's an Issa de Rabbanim. To take a pot off from the fire, there's no Issa de Rabbanim. Maybe the raw flesh is Muktza. If it's not Nechot Kmosh V'chai, it'll be Muktza because you're not going to feed it to the animals. It's Machal Odom. Raw flesh is Muktza because it's not Roy L'Achila today. But leaving out the Muktza issue, there's no other malacha involved in taking off food on top of the fire, to take it off of the fire. But to scrape off the dough from the oven, so the Gemara says that that's some kind of a chumra midrabbon, v'diyas hapas. So the Gemara has a shayla, if I forgot, I was machal Shabbos b'shegeg, I forgot and I put in raw dough in the oven, and I walked away, so if you leave the dough in the oven, it'll become baked. It'll have cream aspan v'tan, and that'll be my malacha. So Gemara has a discussion: is someone else who saw this, is he permitted to violate the Issa d'Rabbanan of Rediyas HaPas, to scrape it off in order to spare me from violating the Avera d'Oraisa? So Gemara is indignant. Gemara says, what kind of a discussion? That's ridiculous. You never say it like that. So the truth of the matter is that we always say it like that. We always say that the ends justify the means. People say in the Jewish religion, the ends don't justify the means. It's not true in every legal system, the ends justify the means. The only question is which ends and which means. If my wife is having a baby and she's in labor and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody agrees I'm allowed to go through a red light because the ends justify the means. Because I'm not, there's no other cars on the highway at 3 o'clock. I'm not going to, and the police will help me go through the red lights. So everybody agrees the ends justify the means. I want to make a yeshiva and I want to cheat the government and I want to steal money from the government to make believe I have a university. So those ends don't justify those means. It depends what the ends are, what the means are. But every legal system has a principle that on certain occasions the ends do justify the means. So the Gemara has this. The Gemara says then the beginning of Shabbat Chayam Alalo Chatei B'Shvil Shiske Chavecha. Now the Gemara says you do say Chatei B'Shvil Shetiske Ato Chatei B'Shvil Shiske Chavecha. If it's going to pay you off a lot, if it's a vaday, the Gemara has to be a vaday. It has to be that it's a small chet as opposed to a big revach. Now I do a little chet in order to make a lot of money, but you're permitted to do a small chet in order to gain in ruchnius much more later on. Mishnah is like that. You have a lot of times chatei b'shul shetiske, chatei b'shul shiske chavercha. If it's a very obvious situation, so that's what the Gemara calls chalel ol b'shabbos achas kadei shishma shabbos es harbe. So the Gemara says that pasuk v'shamim v'nesas al shabbos that teaches us this principle. On rare occasions, can serve as a mocker for the institution of pikuach nefesh, but that's only if it's a vaday pikuach nefesh. That his life is vaday b'sakona, and by being mechal Shabbos, I'll vaday save his life. What if it's a sofik, if his life is b'sakona? What if the roiv is that he's not b'sakona? The roiv is he's going to die anyway. And it's not so clear whether my being mechal Shabbos will save his life. The roiv is going to die anyway, even if I'll be mechal Shabbos. So how do you, if a sfek sveker, a lot of svekers over there. So the Gemara says, if that would be the whole mokah, that would be the only mokah for pikuach nefesh derech Shabbos, is that possible? Shama v'neisos ha-Shabbos chal l'olam Shabbos achas, k'dei she'ishma Shabbos is harbe, that the end justifies the means, so then it wouldn't teach us, it wouldn't cover the case of sofik pikuach nefesh. So the Gemara says, but the other pasuk that Shmuel came up, all the Tanoim gave these drushes, but their psukim didn't cover all the cases. Shmuel, the Amora, came up with his own drasha, and the Gemara says, that's the best drasha of all. Shmuel's drasha is better than all the drashas of the Tanoim. V'chai b'hem elo shiyamas b'hem. So the Netziv claims that there's a difference here. The reason why Tosfos said in the end of Bava Metzia, Eliyahu HaNavi was borer, that he would be mechayeh the meis, even if you think Pinchas Eliyahu, so how was a koyim metami l'meisim? So Tosfos says it was a vaday that is going to be mechayeh the meis. Why do you have to have a vaday? So he claims the pasuk v'chai b'hem elo shiyamas b'hem doesn't apply to dead people to bring him back to life. That's not called pikuach nefesh, but it's based on a different svara of chalal olav Shabbos achas kadei shishma Shabbos esarbe. But the Gemara says in the end of Yuma that only applies if it's vaday sofik, if it's a vaday pikuach nefesh, if it's a sofik not. So that's why Tosfos says it had to be bara lo sheyichayeh, that it bara telio anavi. But the pashup shat they usually assumed otherwise. Pashup shat in Tosfos is that if you have a mace in front of you, if it's not vaday that you're going to be mechayim, that is not even called the sofik. You're talking about mace and nisim, to bring a dead person back to life. So nisim, unless you're vaday that muftach bevadoy is benevuah, that you're going to do a nes, so it's not even called the sofik sakonas nefoshes. It's ridiculous. There's a dead person in China, so by my flicking the switch to turn on the light in New York, what's the connection? Why should I think it's not even a svek sveke of a pikuach nefesh? So a living person should start fiddling around with a dead body. It's not even called the suffix sakonas nefesh. Of course, it has to be vada. That's the poshup shan.
One of the
machmirim
they have between the two tamim is lagavi an ubar, whether ubar be many ima.
Right.
Is there a lagavi an ubar?
Some say not because the ubar wasn't yet alive. Yeah, the chayba means a person who was already alive. You should keep him alive. Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if a pregnant woman is b'sakona, not a sakona that she may die, only sakona is that the baby may not survive, but the baby wasn't born yet. So that's what the Rishonim have in Machlokes. whether you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save an Uber. So some say that that's not covered with V'chaibahim. V'chaibahim Lam Shabbos means if the person was born already, you want to preserve his life. The Uber wasn't born yet, so you can't apply V'chaibahim. That's the argument, right?
So then according to the Mitzvah, it has to be on the Avada, you're going to save the Uber?
No. If you hold from that Svara, if you hold that you can be Mechal Shabbos for the Uber based on Chalal Alav Shabbos Achas, it has to be Vada and not a Sofi. In Shulchan Aruch, the whole issue was not quoted. It's a Pella. In the end of Yuma, the Rosh quotes this Machlekes HaRishayim in the Tosfos. In the end of the first Pek, and Erechin has a discussion about this. I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save an Uber. In Shulchan Aruch, no one even discusses it. They didn't give up Psak. So that's why I think the Shmuel Shabbos Kol Chosa quotes from the Chazon Ish. Since it wasn't discussed in Shulchan Aruch, so you say Sofik Sakon Sofik Pikuach Nefesh is Lekula. So yeah, you are Mechal Shabbos for an Uber, even if it's only a Sofik. That's how we usually assume. Some Rishonim say, how can you be so sure that only the life of the Uber is in danger and the life of the mother is not in danger? You have to be a big doctor to be able to know that. That there's only Sakonas Uber, there's no Sakonah for the mother. But even if you have a doctor and you ascertain that that is the case, only the Uber's life is B'Sakonah, not the mother. So they quote from the Chazon Ish that the Shulchan Aruch, the topic is not discussed. Even on Rishayim, it's discussed at length. Topic is not brought up in Shulchan Aruch. So since it's not brought up, it has the status of a Sofik B'Koch Nefesh, which is Doicha, which we paskin is Doicha. So you have in the Gemara, has different opinions exactly who Eliyahu HaNavi was. Every Shevet wanted to claim him for himself. Everybody wanted to claim that Eliyahu HaNavi is from their Shevet. So the popular notion was that Pinchas is Eliyahu. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, the Malach tells him he should eat well because he's going to have a long hike. So he eats, and then he walks for 40 days and 40 nights with the koyach of the achilah shtiyah that he had, till he gets to Har Sinai. We spoke yesterday about 40 days, fasting 40 days. When you have the ritzu upside down and fasting 40 days, because of Bizoyin HaTorah, the last daf in in Eilim Metzias, in Perik Eilim Metzias. So apparently here, Eliyahu Navi is on his way to come to Har Sinai, so because Moshe sounds, that's what it sounds like, because Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai every time for 40 days, it took him 40 days hachone to get to Har Sinai. Then he complains to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that Bnei Yisrael were over the bris, all the Jewish people were over the bris. So there's a famous medrash that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, over the bris, what do you mean, they don't keep bris milah? I'm going to show you that it's not true. So the Rabbeinu Shlom sends Eliyahu HaNavi, he comes to every bris. The Rabbeinu Shlom sends him to come to every bris. That Eliyahu HaNavi comes on Pesach night, that doesn't say in the Midrashim, but this does say in the Midrashim. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the bris, that's why you make a kisa shel Eliyahu. And so I was just at the bris this morning, so the father of the baby was saying Divrei Torah. So he's saying over from Achrayim, that some Achrayim have a discussion, why is the minhag that everybody stands by the bris? Some had the minhag only the father stands. The father stands, that everybody should know that he's the father, and he has the chiv, he has the mitzvah to do the bris milah. And others say, no, the minhag is everybody stands. So some say, I respect Eliyahu HaNavi, because the Medrash says Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris. Yeah. So some say that that's the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha, because Pinchas is Eliyahu. Why did they decide Pinchas? Why did they get such a havamina? Because Kanokinesi, because he was the Mekani Lashem, and in Chumash, Pinchas was the one who was Mekani Lashem. The opening pasuk in the Haftarah says, Vayishanes Mosnov, he girded his waist, Vayor Telefne Achov, Adbo Acha Israela. This Achov was a Rosh and Berusha. And nonetheless, the Rambam quotes this pasuk, Vayishanes Mosnov, the Melech has to show, the Novi has to show Kovid for the Melech in public. The Novi has to show Kovid for the Melech, even though the Melech is a Melech Rosh. There's a Yerushalmi in Megillah that points out this is only Bechayov, while the Melech is alive. If the Melech dies, normally you have to be Mechabin and Melech even after he dies, but if the Melech is a Rosh, then it doesn't apply. Because the Pasuk says, the Gemara comments on the pasuk in Novi that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was Gora Mit Hatzmasavi Val Mita Shel Chavolim. His father was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So after the father died, so he was Mevaza the father. So how could it be Mavaza the father? The father was a melech. So the Yerushalmi answers, the Yerushalmi makes this comment that the din of Kovid HaMelech even applies to Melech Rosh only Bechayev. After he dies, there's no longer any chi of Kovid. His father was a Rosh, that's a Machloikas HaRishonim, the Ramam and the Tur, is there a din of Kibrav if the father is a Rosh? So the Ramam says, even of Rosh, there is a chi of Kibrav, and the Tur asks on the Ram, how can it be? It's against the Gemara. In the first daf in the Zeh Neshech, the Gemara talks about my father was a loan shark, and he used to lend beribis to other Jews, and he before he died, he amassed fortunes of money, all beribis, all bavera. And then after he dies, the Gemara says, I want to, let's say my father's home is has paintings, and he has Persian rugs, and he has menorahs, and all kinds of expensive things, everything that he collected beribis. So it'll be a bizoin for my father that he has, after he dies, he'll be remembered that he made all of his wealth by taking ribis. So the Gemara says, Mishum Kibrav, the son should give everything back. So the Gemara says, Kibrav? What kind of Kibrav? The father was a Rosh, there is no Kibrav. So the Turi asks, how can the Rambam say that there's a din of Kibrav, even the father's a Rosh? Isn't it against the Beferish Gemara? So some say, yeah, but the Rambam has a mocker. The Osamech says that Gemara, true, that Gemara seems to indicate explicitly there's no din of Kibarav if the father's a Rasha. Unless he did tshuva, then the Gemara said, if he did tshuva, so how come he still has the ribis? Why didn't he give it back? So the Gemara said, didn't have a chance to give it back. He did tshuva right before he died, didn't have a chance to give the ribis back yet. So the Osamech says, even though the Rambam is against that Gemara, but he has a different Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Perikav and Sorah Mora, Gemara discusses, is there a dinim in Sorah Mora if his parents are married by Vera? The father's, let's say the father is a Koy married to a Grusha. So does a dinim in Sorah Mora apply or not? So the Orsamecha is the Kasha. What do you mean? Father's married by Vera, so the father's a Bala Vera. So there is no dinim Kibarav. The whole dinim in Sorah Mora is because the kid is violating Kibarav. So don't you see from that whole discussion in the Gemara doesn't raise that issue at all. Where's the achi of Kibarav by Aviv Rosh? So the Osmech takes it that it's a machlokes between the two Gemaras, that Rambam got his opinion from that Gemara. And others suggest differently. The Marsham has a sefer on Yerudeya, Das Torah. I saw one of the people has a gigantic volume downstairs on the first desk in the base medrash. So in the end of the Das Torah, he has Heoris from his brother, Anshas. So one of the Heoris is about this. He says that that just like the I think he has this Heoris, that just like the Yerushalmi distinguishes, Shalmi Megillah says that the din of Kvoid HaMelech, he applies even if the Melech is a Rosh, that's only while the Melech is alive. Lach HaMisa, there's no Chi of Kvoid HaMelech, Chi Vaishanis Masnov, because Achav was alive. After he dies, there's no din of Kovid if he was a Rosh. When Ben Gurion visited the yeshiva, so Rabbi Soloveitchik was mechabedim with Dr. Belkin. But after he died, there's no mitzvah to continue being mechabed Ben Gurion. They made some kind of a contest. Whoever will write the best essay on something will get a Ben Gurion award. So in the yeshiva, they didn't advertise the contest. He's Shen Gishtar. While he's alive, it's a different story. After he dies, Melech Roshi, not supposed to be mechabedim. So some say that that's the teretz to the Rambam, that Kibarav applies, the Rambam holds Kibarav applies even of Rosha while the father's alive. After he dies, and there's no longer a din of Kibarav if the father was a Rosha. The two types of Kohanim who are not allowed to be Makar Karbonos, one is a Balmum and one is a Cholol. There's a big difference between the two. A balmum is basically a kohen, but he has a mum. So he's not allowed to be makar of karbonis, but he's oichel betruma, he's oichel bechatos, he can eat the korban chatos, he's posel lahakrava, but he can eat, he is a kohen. He's not allowed to be metame lemesim. A balmum is not allowed to marry a grusha. A cholol means if a kohen married a grusha, a kohen gadol married an amonis, all the children are cholol. Chol means empty space. This is cholol, empty vacuum. So a cholol means he's emptied out, has no kedushas kuna whatsoever. Once the child is a cholol, a kohen marries a grusha, the child is a cholol, the child can marry a grusha. The child can go to the cemetery. He doesn't have any of the dinim of kohen at all. So both of them, both a cholol and a balmum, are not permitted to be makar karbonis. What if they would have gone ahead b'di'evan and they were makar karbonis? Would it be kosher b'di'evan or not? So if you wouldn't know the Gemara, you would have guessed in this direction. We would have said, a cholo is mamish not a kohen at all. So for sure it's no good. A balmum is what to discuss. So the din is just the reverse. The pasuk says, Hir nasan las brisi shalom. So the Gemara points out that there's a vav ketiyah. The vav has a space in the middle. That's the way they printed it also. There's a shul here in the neighborhood, Beis Medrash HaGadol. So when the rabbi retired and he moved to Borough Park, I think, so the Balabatim were running the shul. So they told me when it came Shabbos afternoon, this was a long time ago, 20 years ago, Parshas Balak, so they took out a Sefer Torah Talayim Pinchas. So they saw that there's a broken vav. So they put back the Sefer Torah, took out another Sefer Torah. Second Torah also had a broken vav. Puzzled, so they took out a third Sefer Torah. They couldn't believe it. Every Sefer Torah had a broken vav. You need a rabbi, yeah. So the Gemara says, the reason why it has a broken vav, it's only brisi shalem. The vav is broken as if it's not here. And the only time a koyin can be makro korban is if he's a shalem, if he's a balmum, even b'dievid, the avoid is mechulalas. Masheini ken echolol, one would have thought, echolol is dach mamish, emptied out from kedushas kun, he's allowed to be metami lemesim. So the Gemara says, baruch Hashem chelo, afilo chalolim shabo. That's in Zayis HaBrocha. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the bracha to Shaded Levi, Baruch Hashem Chela, for all the Yad of Tirtze, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept the Karbonus HaFilach HaLolim Shabo. That a Cholol Sha'avad, but the Eved is Avedosik Sheir. There is a Machlekes Taisis in the Ramah Manad Gemara, Cholol Sha'avad, but the Eved Avedosik Sheir. The Mishnah has this Machlekes Rablezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We pass on like Rabbi Yeshua against Rablezer. Rablezer was from the Beis Shammai, so we rarely follow his opinions. We usually like Beis Shammai's opinion. Rablezer Shamutihu, the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says he was from the Beis Shammai. So we rarely follow Rablezer's opinions. See, we follow Rabbi Yeshua, the Chol Shavad, B'dievad, Avedosik Sher. So the Mishnah quotes the din of Rabbi Yeshua, the Chol Shavad, B'dievad, Avedosik Sher, in a situation where he didn't realize that he was a Chol. The man went into the Beis Hamikdash thinking that he's a Kohen. In the middle of doing the Hakrabas HaKarbanas, he discovers that he's a chol. So that's chol sheni yadua. Chol sheni yadua, but the abed is avadasik share. What if he knew he was a chol, and nonetheless he went into the Beis HaMikdash in his makor kabanos? So Tosis assumes that the Gemara only applies in the case of a chol sheni yadua. And the Rambam is not so. The Rambam assumes even by chol yadua. But anyway, the whole din is counterintuitive. We would have, if anything, we would have thought punk faker. That the Balmum b'di'evet avedosik sher, because Balmum is a kind and a chol b'di'evet for sure should be nothing to discuss. So the din is fakir. That the Balmum b'di'evet is avedosik psula, and the kain chol b'di'evet is avedosik sher, and that's a machlokes, but if it's only if he's a chol shein yadua, or even if he's a chol yadua. Well, Brisi Shalom goes on Balmum, that even B'di'evit is no good. And Baruch Hashem Chela goes on Chalolim, Afilo Chalolim Shebo, Fol Yarev Tirtza. One goes on Balmum, one goes on Cholom. Then there was a Magei from Bnei Yisrael, because they were sinning with the Bnei Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Su'as Rosh Kaladaz Bnei Yisrael, they should take a census. The Baruch Shalom loves the Jewish people. Even after the Magev, he wants to know how many people survived. So you have again, so the dinim in the Gemara and Yuma about taking a census of the Jewish people. When is it permissible? When is it not permissible? It's Negeh Lalocha. Because in Medina Yisrael, every couple of years, they want to take a census. So how exactly are you allowed to, how do you take a census? And you have to have a tzorech. What, how serious a tzorech do you have to be permitted to take a census? Then the Parsha says that the purpose of taking the census was Leila Techolik Haaretz. Eretz is going to be divided to the Shvatim and to the Yechidim, all of these people. L'Rav Tarba Nachlosa, L'Mat Tamid Nachlosa, and so on. So the Benoist Tzilavchot came and they raised the Shaila by Moshe Rabbeinu. Are they entitled to get Yerusha? The father died. So the Pasha Pshat was, Pasha Pshat in the Parsha is that they came to ask whether girls get Yerusha or not. That's the Pashup Shah. The Gemara in Yesh Nechon quotes a Tana who was a Talmud of Rav Meir, has a whole different interpretation in the parasha. The problem being, the Pasuk says, Noson Titein Lahem Achuzas Nachalo. Why does it say Noson Titein? Why a double ocean? So we just had a whole Daf Gemara in Eila Metzias, where the Gemara darshans Noson Tit Nahanik Tanik Pasach Tiftach. Azav Tazav, every time it has a Kefa Lashon, we assume Lo Dibater Kalushan Bini Adam. The fact that it says twice means something. Here it is, people are talking. Hey, who there? Baruch Shalom is talking. Baruch Shalom is talking. So this is, so it'll be a Shaila. So the way we assume, Lo Dibater Kalushan Bini Adam, what are you darshing over here? How come it says Nason Titein? So this one Tana, the Talmud of Rav Meir, understands the whole story, a whole different perspective. He says the girls knew that they get Yerusha. That was never a question. The girls knew the halacha that whenever there's a son, so the sons get Yerusha, the daughters don't get. Whenever there are no sons, so the daughters get Yerusha. That they knew. The only shaila they had was, are they entitled to Pishnaim? Because their father, Zelofchad, Ben Chefer, was the firstborn of his father, Chefer. And the Pasuk says that the Bechor, Ben Asnu Yakalos, Pishnaim, Bechor Ashei Motzi Lo. Bechor is entitled to Pishnaim in Muchzok, but not in Ra'ui. So Ra'ui means that my father bought a lottery ticket, and the drawing of the lottery takes place after he died. So then the Bechor doesn't. The father didn't have the money yet at the time that he died. So the suffix that they raised was, whatever the father had, whatever Chefer had, their father was Slavchad ben Chefer. So whatever he had in his suitcase when he was traveling in the Midbar, he had a sukkala, he had a talis and tefillin, he had his pajamas, his underwear, whatever he had, Shabbos dikah clothing, weekday, whatever he had, bezes mitzrayim, bezes hayam, whatever he had. So the poor gets pishnaim. The shaila was, what about the big money? What about the chelik and Eretz Yisrael? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kum Yisrael Baruch L'Orka L'Rachba Ki L'Cho Etenenu, was that a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future when Yeshua Ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael? So then L'Cho Etenenu, then it'll belong to Bnei Yisrael, and until then it doesn't belong to us. So it's just like a lottery ticket that the drawing didn't take place yet. So then Tzlovchad Chefer died before he got Eretz Yisrael. Chefer died before the Jewish people got Eretz Yisrael. It was a promise that wasn't fulfilled yet. So in that case, Eretz Yisrael was Roi, not Muchzak. Or should we say no? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kum Misalach Baruch L'Arka L'Rachbo, Ki L'Chay Tenena, that was the Kenyan. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, that was the Kenyan Chazoka. By walking around Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu was Kain Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, what the din was. By Akir Moshe's Mishpaton Lefnei Hashem, he asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the answer? So Ribbono Shel Olam says, Akeifa Lashon Nason Titein, give them Pishnayim. They are entitled to Pishnayim because Eretz Yisrael Mechazak Hasimi Aviseinu, Mimais Avram Avinu, when Avram Avinu walked around the borders, he was Kohen Eretz Yisrael. That was a Kinyan Chazak. It wasn't a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future. Avram Avinu was Kohen Eretz Yisrael right away on the spot. So therefore, when Avraham Avinu died, Yitzchak got it, Yitzchak died, Yankov got it, the Shvatim got it. So Chefer already had his Chelek and Eretz. You don't know where the Chelek is, but he already owned the double. He already owned his Chelek and Eretz. It's also Tzlovchad. When Chefer died, Tzlovchad was entitled to get Pishnaim. And when Tzlovchad died, so the daughters are entitled to Pishnaim. Not only what the grandfather Chefer had in his suitcase, in his sukkah, they were entitled to Pishnaim in Eretz Yisrael. That's how this Tana, one Tana, interpreted. They even knew that din. They knew that if there are no sons, the daughters get the Yerusha. The whole Shaila, the whole Sufik only was on the Pishnaim. And the Chelek of the Pishnaim. We have a din, there's a direct Yoresh, and there's Mishmush Nachla. Let's say if you die, so that's a possibility. If everybody else in between is not alive, so I can get the Yerusha. If I'm the closest relative, I may be a 10th cousin or something. That's called Mishmush Nachla. But then you have direct Yerushim, not Aidei Mishmush. Nachla Mashmeshes V'Haileches. You have direct Yerusha. A person dies, so the son gets the Yerusha. Brother gets Yerusha. That's a direct Yerush. A 10th cousin gets the Yerusha. That's a din of Mishmush. So when you learn Perek Yesh Nechlin, Rabbi Kivega there on the Mishnayos, Yesh Nachman has a discussion. He starts off a discussion. The late Achrenim have much more of a discussion to determine exactly which Yorshim are direct Yorshim and which are only Midin Mishmush Nachla, Nachlam and Mashmeshes Vahaleches, and what's the difference? What's the difference? What is direct Yerusha Mishmush Nachla? The Pasuk says, Mimishpachtoi. So the Gemara says, "Mishpacha saivkui, mishpacha Mishpacha same enekui mishpacha. The relatives only get the Yerusha if the relatives from the father's side. Relatives from the mother's side don't get a Yerusha. Relatives from the mother's side is called Sher Bosa, but it's not called Mishpacha. That we know from the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. And Mishpachosim Leveis Avosim. So the Gemara comments only Mishpacha Sav Kri, Mishpacha, Mishpacha same enekui Mishpacha. That's why there's a problem. When a mother dies, how does the son Yarshan the mother? He's only related to the mother through the mother. We have a din, HaBen Yerusha Simoy. So how can there be such a din? If Yerusha is only Mishpachtoi, and how can it ever have a Ben Yerusha Simoy? So the Gemara says, Taka, it's a different din. It's not based on the normal din of Yerusha. The normal din of Yerusha is only if it's a relative from the father's side. But the son Yerusha and the mother, it's a din of Kom Tachta. And that's what the Gemara has. It has certain quirks. It's not the same as a normal din Yerusha. Ben Yerusha Simoy is a different din. Then we discussed already this year the din. The pasuk says, "Satam es nachloso lisha era hakor avelo." When a person dies, he should give his yerusha to whoever is the closest in line. The she'akorav korav kodim, whichever relative is closest. So the Gemara says, "Garna masifim v'darshim." We establish a din by pulling out letters from the words over here, and we read the pasuk as if it were written. And "Satam es nachlo she'era lo." It doesn't say that at all. It says in Satam is nachaloso lisha eiro. So we take out the vav from the word nachaloso, and we take out the lamed from lisha eiro. So we read it as if it were Nesatim is nachlas sheiro lo. You take the lamed from the sheiro and the vav from nachaloso. What kind of a din is that? But from the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi, he can pull out. It means they had a tradition. One Tana had a tradition. Nesatim is nachlas sheiro. Lo, when the wife dies, habal yerush es ishta. That's the machloikas satanayim. And yesh nochlim in the end of Pchoris, but habal yerush es ishta is a din derais, a din derabon. Bottom line, aloch lemais, a machloikas the Ramam and the Ravid, machloikas satanayim. So the Ramam paskins habal yerush es ishta is only the Rabbanim. And the Ravid wants to paskin habal yerush es ishta is derais. And the Gemara has some slight nafkaminas. There shouldn't really be any nafkaminas. Because if it's a takana de Rabbanon, all takanas in the area of Dini Mamnes are based on Hefker Bez and Hefker, which works Minat Torah. So why should it make a difference whether Abal Yerush is Zish is the Raisa de Rabbanon? Nonetheless, the Gemara has a few nafkaminas, rare nafkaminas. The Pasuk concludes this parsha of Nachlas. V'hoysa levreisa l'chukas mishpat kashatziva Hashem es Moshe. Interesting. Usually mishpat, eila mishpatim shetasim lefneim. Mishpat has the connotation of Din Minimaminus. Chukas has the connotation of Isa Veheter. So the Rambam quotes a drasha. We don't have this drasha in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes a drasha. He must have had some earlier source. Chukas Mishpat, even though you're talking about money, dollars and cents, who gets the Yerusha, the Torah considers an issue of Yerusha as if it were Isa Veheter, and you treat it like Isa Veheter, Lamay Nafkemina. So we paskin la loche in Bob Mitzian, Daf Tzadik Dal, and Eman Aleph, we discussed it this year, that masna masha kosuba Torah in Isa Veheta tonight bottle. Let's say a man gets married to a girl, Hariat Mekodesh Asli, on the condition that if I die leaving no children, you shouldn't require chalitza. Then he dies leaving no children. Well, let's say he says, Hariat Mekodesh Asli, on the condition that at the end of a year, if we're not happily married, you should be materis lehinasi lashuk beliget. There ain't no such thing. You can't make such a tenash. You shouldn't need a get and you shouldn't need chalitza. That's the original example that Yerushalmi gives. A masla mashakos about Torah. The tenai botlam isekaim. He said, Hareem Mekodeshus li, he married her. And the tenai is botlam avutal. It's ridiculous. But what about Bedovisha b'mamen? What if you make a masla mashakos about Torah Bedovisha b'mamen? So that's a machalegis, a mayor of Rabbuda. So we pass our mayor Rabbuda, alachak Rabbuda, the tenai kayim. Call tenai shem b'mamen kayim. So can you make a Tanai by Yerusha? So the Rambam writes, you cannot make a Tanai by Yerusha, because since the Pasig refers to Yerusha as a Chukas Mishpat, even though it's dollars and cents, you're talking about money, Yerusha's money, but nonetheless, the Halacha considers it like Isa V'heter, and we say, Masna Mashkasa Batar B'Isa Isa V'heter Tanai Bottle. So we don't have that drasha. They have the drasha printed in the Medrash HaGadol. Medrash HaGadol, big fat sefer. From Teiman, they have such a Medrash HaGadol, but the people who put out this manuscript of Medrash HaGadol, that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say over, that they don't think that this was written before the Rambam. They think that the one who wrote the Medrash HaGadol took it from the Rambam. So the way did the Rambam get it from? So there must be some earlier source which has this drasha, the Chukas Mishpat, that you treat Yerusha as if it's Isa Veheta, even though it's really Dini Mammonis. You treat it as if it were Isa Veheta. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Aleil Hal HaRavarim HaZeh, you're going to have to die now. So then Moshe Rabbeinu, we started discussing yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe I should consider Yerusha. Just like B'nai Slavchad were concerned about Yerusha, I gave them a psak. Maybe my son should take over. So I mentioned yesterday, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's havamina that his son should take over? The Medrash says, obviously Rav Nosna has this, and the Medrash has it over here, that why did Yeshua ben Nun take over? Pinchas and Eliezer were sharper than Yeshua ben Nun. They knew how to learn better than Yeshua ben Nun. But nonetheless, the Medrash quotes that pasuk, Noitzet Te'eno Yochal Piria, the pasuk from Mishlei, that Yeshua ben Nun was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu. Godol Shemusha, Yosem Elimuda. That Pinchas and Eliezer were very sharp. They listened to the Shurim of Moshe Rabbeinu, but they weren't Meshameshim. And Yeshua ben Nun was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu. Meshamesh doesn't mean the one who washes the pajamas and the one who serves breakfast, lunch, and supper. Meshamesh means he listens to the Shurim and he watches the way the Rebbe davens, and he watches the way the Rebbe acts, and the way the Rebbe paskens the Dini Torah. Shimush doesn't mean physical shimush. Shimush means he has shimush to see halacha lemaisa, the way the Rebbe is knowing. So Pinchas and Eliezer, they listened to the Shir, and then they went to Beis Medrash to learn. They weren't interested in hanging around him. And Yeshua ben Nun, in addition to listening to the Shir, he wasn't as sharp as Eliezer and Pinchas. They were sharper, but Pinchas and Elazar. But he was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu. So God l'shemusha yosem elimudam. So where was Moshe Rabbeinu's havamina that his son should take over? Gershom and Eliezer, they were not known for anything special, not known as Talmidei Chachamim. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's havamina? So I thought, I mentioned yesterday, I thought that every father has such a natural love for his son. So every father is blind and he thinks his son is the greatest in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu also thought that his son should take over. So last night I was sitting next to the Rabbi Menachem Schrader from Eretz Yisrael. We were both participating in a Shabbat Brachas. One of the boys got married. So I spoke to him about this issue. So he gave a different suggestion. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu was the big Paisek for Kalal Yisrael. He was Rabbi Shal Yisrael. And that he knew his son wasn't Roy Lekach. But he also had the din of Melech. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Melech. So he thought that the Malchus should go be Yerusha to his son, even though his son is not great Talmud Chochem. Okay, who will be the big Pesach? Will either be Pinchas or Elazar or Yeshua? So one of the big learners. But he thought the Malchus should go be Yerusha to his son. So then the Rabbanu Shalom told him, this is how Rabbi Shreda suggested, the Rabbanu Shalom told him, the only reason why you have a Din Melech is because you're the God of Ador. Davnei Neza has a whole long tshuva where he quotes like this from the Rosh Hasharan. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din melech when there is no melech. So whoever is the God Lador has automatically a status of melech. So he had a din melech because he was the God Lador. It wasn't an independent appointment as melech. So he can't say, let the din melech go be Yerusha to my son, and let the din, whoever is the God Lador, will take over. Yeshua, Pinchas, Elazar, they'll become the great Moira HaRoa. No, whoever will be the God Lador will automatically be the melech. That's what the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu. Interesting suggestion. It's a good shot. Lefnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod V'Shoalo B'Mishpat HaUrim Lefnei Hashem Al Pivi Eitzel Al Pivi Avohu Hu V'Chol B'nei Yisurita V'Chol HaEido. So the Gemara says in the Yuma, next to the last perek in the end, right before the last perek in Yuma begins about the Chamish Einuyim. So at the very end of Yuma, the Gemara talks about the dinim of Sheila Beurim V'Tumim. People have a mistaken notion, as if you're going out with a girl, you don't know if you should marry her or not. So you go ask the Kohen Gadol, ask the Urim V'Tumim whether I should marry the girl. So the Gemara says clearly, the Urim V'Tumim, you're not supposed to ask, and it's not going to answer a personal, private thing. Should I invest in American American commodities? Should I buy real estate in China? Should I marry the girl? Should I not marry the girl? The Urim V'Tumim is not going to answer. It's only Api Yetzal Muhammad, Api Shalom and Mishpat Urim. The Melech has the right to be Shal Urim V'Tumim. If it's a national issue that's negated to all of Klal Yisrael, then you ask. People say, oh, by the name of the Vilna Gaon, it's a funny pshetl that the when Chana came to Davin in Mishkan Shiloh, say, why did he think that she was a Shikora? Because he asked Durba Tumim, what's the story with this woman? So the letters lit up, so you have to know how to interpret the letters. So the letters that lit up were Shin Chav Reish Hei. So he thought, Shikora, there you have it, she's Shikor, and she's a mumbling thing, she doesn't know what she's doing, she's drunk. And really it was spelling out Kisora, she's a Tzadekas like Sari Imenu. The same letters, Chav Shin Reish Hei, and he thought that it was Shin Chav Reish Hei. Shikor. So that's a pshetl that they say in the name of the Vilna Gaon. How can it be? What do you mean? Yes, the Urim Tumim. Is the woman drunk or is she for real? What is that neged? It's not neged to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says the parish. You only yes, the Urim Tumim if it's an issue of national significance, private personal issues. You don't ask the Urim Tumim. The Urim Tumim is not going to answer. The Urim Tumim, the whole Baisheni didn't function. That's psukim and say like that. They had Kohanim who were not miyuchosim, so they were negualu min hakohuna. They were rejected from being makriv karbonos. We assume that that was a chumra midirabbana that was instituted by Ezra when he built the second Beis Hamikdash, that we only permit Kohanim miyuchosim to be makriv karbonos. And he says, we won't know until ad amot kohen lo urim velatumim. Until, so apparently in the days of the Bai Sheni, the urim v'tumim wasn't functioning. When we'll have a coin who'll be able to ask the Urim V'Tumim, Lo Asid Lava, as Moshiach V'Tkumim, Kishiyav Eliyahu, so then we'll ascertain who is a coin Miyuchas. And until then, Kohani Chazaka are not allowed to be Makor Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And by Shein, the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer. So that's a Machlekes, Rashi and Tosis, that you have to put in, the Urim V'Tumim is the Shem Amfarish inside the Choshen. Inside the Choshen. So if it's not going to answer anyway, so do you have to put in the Shem Hashem? Do you say that's an integral part of the beged? The Kohen Gadol has to wear Shemayin B'Kodim. So the Urim V'Tumim is a chelik of the Choshen, a Choshen HaMishpat, even if it's not going to answer. Or do you say no, it's only for the putting in the Shem Hashem is not an integral part of the beged. The beged is complete without that. That's only Urim V'Tumim is going to answer. It's not going to answer, so you don't need the whole thing. So that's Machlek Zerashi and Tesis and Yuma. Machlek Zerama. And they arrive at also when they talk about the Big Dekuna, where the Urim Betumim is the Shem Hashem that was put on a piece of parchment inside in the back of the Choshen Mishpat. Was that an integral part of the Beged, or was it something separate from the Beged? And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Apparently, in some Lubavitcher publication in Eretz Yisrael, they quoted something in the name of Rav Moshe about land for peace. So someone asked Rav Moshe, did he really say that? So he said, no, he never said anything. He doesn't work on Shilas unless somebody asks him halacha l'maisa. So he says, the Israeli government didn't ask him, so that's why he didn't work on the Shilas. And then he discusses a little bit, if they would ask him, what does he think? So he says, he raises the possibility. The Mishnah says that for opening Mishnah on Sanhedrin on the first daf, you have the whole long Mishnah that covers the whole first parak in Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah says, in order to wage Melchemes Arshus, you have to have authorization with the Urim V'Tumim. Mashmoy says, in order to wage Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't need authorization with the Urim V'Tumim. But nonetheless, the Pasuk says, Api Yetzo Apiv Yavoyu, Apiv Yetzo La Melchama. If you have Urim V'Tumim available, so you should consult the Urim V'Tumim before you go to war to make sure. Should I attack today? Should I attack tomorrow? Should I go this route? Should I go that route? Ask the Urim V'Tumim for an Eitzim. The Shadus Baruch, the Urim V'Tumim is not available. Let's say Bizman is there. You don't have any Urim V'Tumim. You don't have any Kohen who can ask any Urim V'Tumim. So does that mean that you don't go to Melchemes Mitzvah? Melchemes Rishus, there's an Issa Sikun, you're putting Jewish soldiers' lives into danger. There's an Issa Ritzicha, you're killing enemies. So you can't go wage a Melchemes Roshus today. No one's interested in any Melchemes Roshus. Tzva Haganah Yisrael. Tzahal is Haganah. It's Israeli defense force. It's only for defense. A defense is a Melchemes Mitzvah. They don't go, they're not interested in attacking and expanding Medina Yisrael right now. So defense is a Melchemes Mitzvah. That's not a Melchemes Roshus. So Moshe writes, strange. That he thinks that maybe the Shele Urim V'Tumim is Leikuva. If you don't ask Urim V'Tumim, you say you can't even go to Melchemes Mitzvah. So what do you mean? You're paralyzed. You just sit there. You sit there and like a sitting duck, and they're going to kill you. Avsar Moshe doesn't go into the details. Yeah. The Pashtus in the Mishnah says, "Ein yetz melchemes harishus, el al pi bezin shur mitumim and so on, melech and nobi and koyin and so on." But melchemes mitzvah, you don't need ur mitumim. Lechatchile, if you have ur mitumim available, of course you consult ur mitumim. It's an issue of national cause. So, but if you don't have ur mitumim available, so the Pashtus in the Mishnah is you go to wage melchemes mitzvah without the ur mitumim. Rav Moshe raises the possibility that maybe not allowed to go to melchemes mitzvah if Urim and Tumim is not available. Isn't that against the Mishnah? Except he doesn't go into the details. He doesn't explain it. Then the Torah has all of the parshas hamoados, all the special karbonas that they bring on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and on the different occasions. Every day that there's a musaf for Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov Chol Hamoed, there's always a musaf of oilas and a chatas as well. The chatas is always written at the end. Siris mechal lechaper alehem. Chatas is written at the end after all the oilas, but it was kori first. As Rav Shlomo Levilna points out, when we daven, we say, Yeratzim Lefanecha, you should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, you'll bring Tmidim Kisidram, Musafim Kihil Chasam. What do you mean, Musafim Kihil Chasam? So Rav Shlomo Levilna writes in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, on Arachayim, he thinks Musafim Kihil Chasam means not the way it says in the Chumash, according to the Aloch of the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh says when you have a series of karbanas consisting of many, you have 10 oilas and 1 chatos. You have 10 oilas and 1 chatos all together, it's 11 korbanos. So in the Chumash it's written, you bring all the oilas, then you bring series mechel chatos at the end. And Halacha says not, so you bring the chatos first. Always a chatos kodemis li'oilah, most of the time, chatos kodemis li'oilah. So we do the tmidim, we do musafim kihil chasam, the musafim are brought not the way it's written in Chumash, but rather the way the Halacha, the Torah Shebal Peh, instructs us. Then the Chumash says you should bring the Musaf and Mevada Alas HaTamid and Mechasa Ta'asu. This is after bringing the Tamid Shal Shachar. Shouldn't bring Karbonis before the Tamid Shal Shachar. What's the din? So the Mishnah says in Perakol HaTodir, in Zvachim, towards the end of Zvachim, that Pei Tesem and Aleph, that Todir B'Shein HaTodir, Todir Kaidim, is learned after this Pasuk. You have to bring the Tamid Shal Shachar first, and then you bring the Musaf. Torah b'shein ha-Torah, Torah k'odim. Torah b'shein ha-Torah, Torah k'odim is l'chatchila. It's not mi'akev b'di'evet. It's not mi'akev b'di'evet. Let's say you say Kiddush. So we follow Beis Hillel's opinion. First you say Bar Piyagofen, and then you say Kiddush afterward. Beis Shammai say first say Kiddush, then you say Bar Piyagofen at the end. So why do we paskin like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, Torah b'shein ha-Torah, Torah k'odim. Bar Piyagofen, you can have wine 7 days a week, and Kiddush you only say once a week. So Bar Piyagofen is Motod. What a B'di'evet. Someone will follow Beis Shammai's opinion. He'll say first the Kiddush and then the Bar Piyagofen at the end. So B'di'evet, you Yoytzei Al Pi Pashta. Torah B'shei Torah is only L'chatchila. How should you arrange? You want to do two mitzvahs, mitzvah A, mitzvah B. Should you do A and then B, or should you do B and then A? So L'chatchila, there's a Seder. The Seder is not Mi'akeh B'di'evet. Al Pi Pashta, the Seder is not Mi'akeh B'di'evet. Here there's room to argue the point. Tosfos Bekama Masechtos has this discussion. Here there's room to argue the point and to say that the Gemara calls it the Essay the Hashlama. You're not allowed to bring anything after the Tom Shal Ben Abayim. You're not allowed to bring anything before the Tom Shal Shachar. So maybe in addition to the consideration of Torah B'Shein and Torah Koilim, that's learned out from the Mashmos Mavar Olas Atomid. Because the Tom Shal Shachar is a Tomid, it's a Todir, that's why it's Koyd. Maybe there's an additional halacha that you can't bring all the karbonos have to be sandwiched in between the Tom Shal Shachar and Tom Shal Ben Abayim. So maybe there's a din if you bring before Tom Shal Shachar, bring after Tom Shal Ben Abayim. Maybe it should be possible even by the Yevid, maybe Midirabonon should be possible by the Yevid, maybe Minatoira. So the Pashtus is neither of the above. Even by the Yevid, the Tosis quotes, the Sept is like, even by the Yevid, it's kosher. This has one suggestion, maybe midrabbanan, if you bring it after Tom Shal Ben Abayim, it'll be possible, but we don't really hold like that. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say a person comes to shul. There's a fellow here in the neighborhood, he used to come to shul every Shabbos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. And then he used to daven musaf, then after musaf he would daven shachris. He would daven musaf betfilah betzibah, but then he would daven shachris afterwards. So in Shulchan Aruch they talk about him. Shulchan Aruch had Ruach HaKodesh, and they talk about him. So it says, if he daven musaf before shachris, he yoytze b'diyevet, because in the Beis HaMikdash, if he would have brought the musaf before the Tomas Shel Shachar, b'diyevet, it's a tosefta that it would be good. If you so b'diyevet it's good, l'chatchila, it's not right. L'chatchila, you should come on time, you should daven shachris before. Yeah, but this is the pasuk that it's learned out from. Then the Gemara learns out from other pesukim that there's another rule: mekudesh veidem mekudesh, mekudesh kaidem. If you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, and one is one mekudesh than the other. Let's say two balabatim come to the Beis Hamikdash simultaneously. One I'm a kohen, so they're balabatim, they're not kohanim, but they can't be makor of the karbonos. And one guy says, I have a chatos, which is a kochi kochim. I have an oilon. The other guy says, I have a shlomim, which is a kochim kalim. So the kochim kochim is more mekudesh than the kochim kalim. So if they both come at simultaneously, both come at the same time, so the din is mekudesh vein and mekudesh kalim. You should do the carbon that has more kedusha. You should do that first, and then do the carbon that has the less kedusha. That's why there's a difficulty. It says in the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, first you put on the talis, then you put on the tefillin, because the tefillin has more kedusha than the talis. Talis is only tashmishay mitzvah. The tefillin is tashmishay kedusha. And Malam Bakodesh, first you should wear the talis, and then wear the tefillin, which is a higher level of Kedusha. So Adarabba, all the Mefarshim, Adarabba, if the tefillin is a higher level, so you should say, and as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't make a difference, put on tefillin first or put on talis first. So you should say, Mekudesh Vein Mekudesh Mekudesh Kam, you should put on the tefillin first. So they give explanations, what's going on over here? Why are you all of a sudden here? Because it's Mom Mekudesh, that's why it comes second, Malam Bakodesh. Isn't it in contradiction to the rule of... Mekudesh veinu mekudesh mekudesh kaidim.
I mean,
the Gemara there has a suffix in the first daf and call a tod there. In the end, the zochim there and daf tzarek. Gemara has a suffix whether tod v'shein a tod is a tod there is a maila. And mekudesh veinu mekudesh mekudesh is a maila. What if there's a conflict between the two? I have two mitzvahs. One is more mekudesh than the other, but the other one is more todder than the first one. So hey odiv. So the Gemara says nidbay the life shita. And the Rambam writes, "Eizeh mehem sheyirtze yagdim." Whatever you want, you can do first. The Yerushalmi says that that's exactly the machlokes beishamay and beishilul. When you say kiddush, do you say bar piagofen first? That's toder. Do you say kiddush first? Kiddush is a bracha. That's deraisa. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim that kiddush is deraisa. Bar piagofen is only a bracha mid the rabbanon. So lechora the bracha of kiddush is more mekudesh than the bracha of bar piagofen. So the Yishalmi has that discussion where the Torah Mekudosh, Hei Minayu Adif, Shalmi says it's Machlekes, B'Sham and B'Sil, whether when you say Kiddush, they say the Bar Piagofen first, or you say the Kiddush first. Then the Yishalmi makes a Lushitosai, Rab Lezer Nachachomim, have a Machlekes and Nazir. If a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen are not allowed to be Metamei L'Meisim. A Kohen is allowed to be Metamei L'Meisim to anyone in the Zayin Karevim or a Meis Mitzvah. The Nazir and the Kohen Gadol only allowed to be Metamei to Meis Mitzvah, not allowed to be Metamei even to the seven relatives. So let's say Kohen Gadol is walking down the highway and there's no one else there and there's no cell phone, there's no way to get in touch with the outside world, and he finds a Jewish Meis there. So it's a Meis Mitzvah. So he shouldn't just wait there, wait till someone else will come. It's a bizoin for the Meis Mitzvah. He should be Metamei L'Meis Mitzvah. You should bury him. What if you have a Nozer and a Kohen Gadol are going down the highway, and you don't need both of them to turn. They bump into a Meis Mitzvah. There's nobody else there. No cell phone. No one else there. So one of the two has to be Metamei to the Meis Mitzvah. So who is Mochomer? Which one of the two should be Metamei? Should the Kohen Gadol be Metamei? Should the Nozer be Metamei? So the Mishnah quotes Machlekes HaBlezer and the Chachamim on this. What's the Likudus of Machlekes? So the Yerushalmi has a whole shtickle Torah that Rab Lezer Shamuti, who Rab Lezer was from the Talmid of Beis Shammai, so he goes with Beis Shammai Shita, that you say Kiddush first and then Bar Piagofen, because Mekudush is more of a Hashivas than Todir. So even though the Kohen Gadol will be for the rest of his life, the Nazir is only for a short period of time. He's not a Nazir Olam. He's a Nazir for 30 days, for half a year, whatever it is. Kohen Gadol has the appointment for the rest of his life. But if the Nazir is Metame, then he has to bring Karbonos Nazir Tomei. So in a certain sense, the Nazir is Mekudesh. If the Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei, El Nira Azor Shlishi Shvi'i B'Kam Tor. You don't have a whole parsha of special Karbonos that he has to bring. So on the one hand, the Kohen Gadol is Mekudesh. The Kohen Gadol is Todir, because he's for the rest of his life. And on the other hand, the Nazir is Mekudesh, because if he becomes Tami, he's maybe Karban. So that's the Machlokes in the Mishnah, Ablezer Nachachamer, Ablezer representing Beis Shammai's opinion, that the Mekudesh is more important than the Todir, and the Chachamim represent the Beis Hillel's opinion. That's how the Rishami says. That's a Harifus. Rishami has that Harifus. Right, that's a Machlokes HaRishayim about that. The Magen Avraham and Hilchas Sukkah quotes that Machlokes HaRishayim. Some Rishayim say that some opinions in Tosfos Tarush and the Tarakam is only which do you do first, which do you do second. But to be Deicha, if you're only going to do one of the two mitzvahs, then the rule doesn't apply. And other Tosfos say not so. Even to be Deicha, also the rule applies.
Going back to Talis and Tefillin, so what did the Mepharshim answer? Why do you do
that? They say if you're performing two mitzvahs, Shemichutz leguf adam. Let's say the Gemara has an example, Tarav Shein Tadir, it's, I didn't daven Musaf yet, it's Rosh Chodesh, I didn't daven Musaf yet, and it's the afternoon. And I'm not going to have a minyan for Mincha. I'm on a boat, no minyan. They ain't going to get no minyan. So what should he daven first? So the Gemara says he should daven Mincha first and then Musaf. Because Mincha is every day, Musaf is only on special occasions. So Tadr B'Shein Tadir, Tadir Kaidim. Tadr B'Shein Tadir, Tadir Kaidim. So that means you're arranging. The Chazon Ish has a comment on that. But in the Beis HaMikdash, what would you do? You're not supposed to bring any karbonos after the Tamash Al Bein Arbaim. So the Beis HaMikdash used to bring the Musafim early in the morning. They didn't wait till the afternoon. What if they did wait till the afternoon? What if it's Takahigia Hazman? Every day there was a Zman when they brought the Tamash Al Bein Arbaim. The Mishnah says, well, when did they bring Tamash Al Bein Arbaim? So between 3:30 and 4:30, every day, something like that. So let's say it's 3:30, the clock strikes 3:30, the bell rings, and it's time to bring the Tam Shabbat HaBayim, and then they realize we didn't bring the Musafim yet. You can bring Musafim Kol HaYam Kulo. So the Chazon Ish says that since the Gemara says if it's afternoon and you want to daven Mincha, you want to daven Musaf, you're not going to have a minyan anyway. If you're going to have a minyan for Mincha later, I said, I don't want to daven Mincha now. I'm not going to get a minyan for Musaf. Everybody, every normal person in the world already daven Musaf. They daven in the morning. So then I should daven Musaf now and wait a couple of hours till they're going to daven Mincha and Shul. I'm not interested in davening both, but if I'm interested in davening Mincha and Musaf, so then you daven Mincha first, then you daven Musaf. So the Chazon Ish says, but if you'd be in the Beis HaMikdash, what would you do? So he says, apparently the Beis HaMikdash also, if the clock strikes 3:30 and it's a Yia Hazman, that's the Zman to bring the Tamash Al Bein Abayim, and they didn't bring the Musaf yet, so they would say Tore B'Sheina Tore. They would bring the Mincha first, and then they'd bring the Musaf after. Because b'di'evit, if you bring karbanis after the tamash al bein abayim, you yotzei, just a din l'chatchila, essay the hashlama, aleh hashlem kol karbanis kolim, all the karbanis should be brought before the tamash al bein abayim. So the essay the hashlama is trumped by the rule of tadir b'shein tadir. So if every day of the year you bring the tamash al bein abayim at 3:30, so today also, today's Rosh Chodesh, at 3:30, I didn't bring either yet, so you bring the Tamash al Bein Habayim first, then you bring the Musafim later. That's how the Chazon Ish says. So that's what the Mepharshim say on the Shulchan Aruch. When you say Torah Mashiach and Torah Torah Kaim, I'm going to perform two mitzvahs. I'm going to daven Mincha and Musaf. So which one should I daven first? Daven Mincha first. But here, if I'm going to put on tefillin, the tefillin is going to elevate my level of Kedusha. When I wear talis is a mitzvah. It's not Tashmisha Kedusha, it's Tashmisha mitzvah. So mitzvah is Megan. The mitzvah gives me a little protection, it has an effect on me temporarily. If you wear tefillin, it has a stronger effect on the person. So there, since you're talking about having an effect on the person, so then you say, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. It's better to go up in level. So first you put on the talis, and then you gain the higher level by putting on the tefillin. But you're talking about performing mitzvah shemi, mechutz leguf adam, not putting on talis and tefillin on my body, and it's going to be Malam HaKodesh. That's what they say. That's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, that this is an exception to the rule. There is a discussion, the minig is, when a person dies, so you, Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that you shouldn't spend a fortune of money to buy expensive tachrichim, by the goyim. They spend a fortune by the Jews years ago. They used to spend a fortune of money, and the Gemara says that people would, if they would a relative would die, they would run away. They would leave the mace. They couldn't afford to spend so much money for an expensive casket and for expensive tachrichim. And then Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, and when he died, he left instructions they should bury him in the cheapest tachrichim, a dollar. They should only spend the dollar on the tachrichim and shayin. So the so that's the meaning. We have very inexpensive tachrichim, but we bury a mace with a talus. Because the Gemara says in the last perek in Sanhedrin, perek chelik, that after tchias ha-mesim, the mesim will come back to life with the begodim that they were wearing. So whatever you, if you put on nice begodim, so it's going to come back with nice begodim. But we put on tachrichim on everybody. So to be mechazik the amun in tchias ha-mesim, so we put on the talus on the mace to indicate when he's going to have tchias ha-mesim, so he'll be wearing a talus. He'll be able to wear a talus. So the shaila is, many people have a weekday talus and a Shabbos day talus. So which talus should you put on the person? So the so some achrayim discuss, Davnei Neza I think has a chuv about this, and others also have chuvs about it. Some achrayim discuss todir v'sheina todir koydim. The weekday talus you wear 6 days a week, but the Shabbos day talus you wear on a yom hamakudosh. So maybe it's todir makudosh. Maybe it's todir makudosh. So the Raman Paskin's Torah Mekudosh, Ezer Shir, it's a Yagdim, you can choose whatever you want. But that's the two opinions in Tosfos that the Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchas Piyutim by Sukkos. When you say Torah B'Sheinu Torah Torah Kaim, it only goes on Kedima if you're going to fulfill both mitzvahs. So should you do A, B, or should you do B, A? But if it's a toss-up, you're going to either do A or B, which one should you do? So that's two opinions in the Rishonim, whether the rule of Torah B'Sheinu and Torah applies or not. Some Rishonim hold that it doesn't apply. Here they're talking about being doicher. They're not talking which talis should he put on first. They're talking about which of the two talisim should they bury him in. My father used to say he thought that it's a doicher pasha. Do you want him to be dressed up nicely after tchias ha-mesim? They're going to come back to life. The body will be reconstituted and the begadim will be reconstituted. So let him wear a Shabbos day talis. The better talis. Why should... The whole idea of dressing him up with a talis is that the loss of love him, when it'll come time for tchias ha-mesim, he'll be dressed in a talis. So we wanted to have a nicer talis. The tachrichim, he buy the cheapest, the most inexpensive. That was Takanas Rabbi Gamliel. But the talis, he died. So bury him with the Shabbos to get talis.
Why should
they pass him with the week? I don't know. Got to ask the Chevi Kaddish what the common practice is. The Mishnayos in Sukkah record that Bizman Baisheni, there was a practice of Nisach HaMayim in the Beis HaMikdosh, and the Tzedukim didn't observe it. The Tzedukim only followed what it says in Torah Shebichsav, and they didn't accept anything from the Torah Shemalteh. So the Mishnah says that there were periods of time that the Beis HaMikdosh was run by the Tzedukim. Then they would make a yontif when they kick out the tzedukim, and they would be makor of all the karbonos properly in accordance with the tradition of the Torah Shemal Peh. They used to make yamim tovim. So the Mishnah records that on one occasion the Kohen Gadol was a tzeduki, and they pressured him. He has to do nisach hamayim, but he was so consistent, so he refused to pour it on the mizbeach. So he poured it on his feet. Everybody was watching, so he didn't want to pour it on his, feet. V'ragmu kol ha'am v'esragim, and all the people through the Esregim at the Kohen Gadol, and also Yom Nifkim HaMizbeach. A lot of people missed the Kohen Gadol. The Tzduke said it hit, the Esregim hit the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach was chipped to the extent that it was puzzled, so they couldn't be Makor Kabbonis till they made it Ravua, till they fixed up the Mizbeach. So where is the Mokar for this institution of Nisach HaMayim? It's clearly not in Torah Shebichsav, it's somewhere in Torah Shebichsav. So the Gemara has three different opinions from the Tanoim. So one, Rabbi Yechanan quotes in the name of earlier Tanoim that Nisach HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai means a tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh which has no source at all. There's no way to derive it by reading in between the lines in the Chumash. There are no Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben that it can be learned out from. The other two Tanoim disagree. They say no, it's learned out from Psukim through Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Hespan, which psukim? So that's a further machlekes. So one Tana is of the opinion that Bayom HaShishi it says Unes Socheho, Mevaro Olas Atomim Mincha So Unes Socheho, and the double There are two nisachim. Every day of the year, you bring a tam shel shachar, tam shel ben abayin, and you bring nisach hayayin in connection with the tamid on Sukkot, in connection with the tamid, not in connection with the musafim, in connection with the tamid of Yom HaShishi, and we assume it's the same all the 7 days of Sukkot. One Tana holds even the 8th day, Shemini Atzeres, Machlok Satanaim. The Tanaim who lived after the Churban Abayis, they didn't know exactly what happened Bezman Abayis. So there's a Machlok, there's a Mishnah. Did they do, what was the practice? Did they do Nisach HaMayim HaShemini Atzeres also? Some, with respect to some details, Shemini Atzeres has the same dinim as Sukkot. Respect to other dinim, not. You don't sit in Sukkah and Eretz Yisrael and Shemini Atzeres. You don't shake a Dalet Minim. You don't shake the Lulav. So what about Nisach HaMayim? So that's a Machlok is Satanaim. Whether they had Nisach HaMayim HaShemini Atzeres. So the pasuk says Unisachecho, that Nisach HaMayim is in conjunction with the Tamid every day of Sukkot. The other Tana, the third Tana says no, it's not Halacha Moshe Messina. It's from the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi Ben, but it's not from Unisachecho. Unisachecho is part of this story. By Yom HaSheni, how does it say? By Yom HaSheni it says V'niskehem with an extra mem. In the Yom HaShishi, it says Unisachecho, there's an extra yud. Then Yom HaShvi, it says Kemishpatam, there's an extra mem. So you have mem, yud, mem. That's a drasha gemara deraisa. That's not a balatur. That's a drasha gemara deraisa. You learn mem, yud, mem. What's the difference, if any, whether you hold that it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai or it's drasha A or drasha B? So the Rambam interprets a Gemara in the end of Zvachim. The last parak in Zvachim is parak Hashechet v'Hamale. Maybe it's next to the last parak. Parashat is the last parak, I think. Next to the last parak. It's Hashechet v'Hamale. Dinam shchut nechutz and male b'chutz. So the Mishnah says that if a person does nisach hayayin b'chutz, a guy makes a mizbeach here in the Wewok, in America, and he pours wine on the mizbeach. So if he does nisach hayayin, chutz lebeis hamikdash, that's also chayv koros. Not only shechet b'chutz, not only male b'chutz, if you make the rimurim b'chutz, if you do nisach hayayim b'chutz also. What if you do nisach hamayim on sukkahs b'chutz? You make your own bama in America or anywhere else outside of the makam hamikdash and you pour water on sukkahs, would there be an iser of like nisach hayayim b'chutz? Is an iser koros. What about nisach hamayim? So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. So what does it depend on? So the Gemara in the end of Zvachim says it depends whether it's halacha l'moshe misina. So it's very unclear. How does it depend? So Tosfos has a pshat there. It's an unclear Gemara. So the Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnah, in the end of Zvachim, has an interpretation. He says you never have a chi of koris for something that's halacha l'moshe misina. So I would have understood if there's an Avera that's only known to Halacha Moshe Messina. The Avera of Shechet Bachutz and Mala Bachutz is in the Chumash, but the Korban is only known to Halacha. So the Ramazan doesn't make a difference. If the whole Nisach HaMayim is only known to Halacha Moshe Messina, you can't say that there's Kores if someone is going to be Menasech Mayim Bachutz. There's never Kores on a Halacha Moshe Messina. Never Kores on a Halacha Moshe Messina. So if Nisach HaMayim is only known to Halacha L'Moshe Messina, then it wouldn't be Koris if you do Menasach Mayim Bachutz. But if it's based on the Drasha Nisachecho, based on the Drasha of Mem Yud Mem, so then it's a normal Torah Shebal Peh, then it's a normal Drasha, so then there will be Koris, then you will have Koris. That's a famous Chiddush. That Rambam is a famous Chiddush. There's never any onshim on Halacha L'Moshe Messina. Is that really so? Never any onshim. That's there's a rush like that in the second parak in Bava Kamma. I think Gemara has a suffix, Rava has a suffix. We have a din of tsruris that if a behemah is walking b'shus hayochid, then pebbles are flying because of the way the behemah is just walking normally. So that's a told of the regal. Tsruris is a told of the regal, but you only chayv chatzi nezik. The Gemara says why chatzi nezik? So the Gemara says, Hilchas HaGemiri Lo. So what does that mean? So Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh understand Hilchas HaGemiri Lo means Halacha L'Moshe Messina. So Rava has a suffix in the second parak in Bava Kamma. How are you supposed to understand this? What would the Din D'Oraisa have been if not for the fact that there's Halacha L'Moshe Messina, Tzuris HaChatzin Nezik? Would you have said, Koicha Kegufoi? So the Bala Beima should have really been Mechuyif to pay Nezik Sholem. Vasi Hilchas said the Halacha L'Moshe Messina comes and is Mekel, that you only pay chatzin nezek, or maybe you say faker. Koicha lav kiguf adam. Yikra din, if anybody's mazik al yidei koicha, you're potter. Odom ha-mazik al yidei koicha is potter. Koicha lav kigufa. And the behem is mazik al yidei koicha should have been potter mikol bakol. The halach l'moshem sinya comes lahachmer. So Rav has a sofik, then the Gemara records, Bosa de bayo, hada pashto, after Rav raised the sofik, he was poshited, that koicha kigufoi, and halach l'moshem sinai is ligareya, to be mekel. So usually, in many places in Shas, they quote, Rav had a sofik, Bosa de bayo, hada pashto, after he thought about it, he was poshited, and they give you a mocker, a poshik and chumish, or a mishnah, or a braisa, or a svara, they give you some mocker, how he was poshited, shalit. Here the Gemara doesn't say what. The Gemara says, "Basa the bayu hada pashta kerche kugufay." The halacha Moshe Messina is lahakal. So how was he pushed it? The Gemara doesn't tell you the secret. So the Rosh has a famous line there. Rava came to the realization that halacha Moshe Messina always has to be lahakal. So the Rosh gives you a parallel situation in the first parak in Sukkah. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. How many defines do you need for the Sukkah? Do you need three full defanis or revius afilu tefach, or do you need two defanis or shlishis afilu tefach? Machlekes hatanoim. So the Gemara has different suggestions, what's the nekudas amachlekes. So the Rosh says the gist of the Gemara, it's not 100% accurate what the Rosh said, but apparently he feels that the main thrust of the Gemara is that a halach l'moshim sin is always lahakel. So if the pasuk says that you need three defanis, the halach l'moshim sin is going to chisel down one of the tefanas. That it's enough of the tefach. It's not going to say, that's not enough, you need a fourth daif and a tefach. Every halach l'moshim sinai is always lahakel. Why? So the mekubalim say that the Torah Shebaal Peh was given a midas achesed. Everything lahakel. Torah Shebichsav is etched in stone. So that was given a midas adin. It says, ayin tach hasayin. Sounds like you really blind the guy's eye out. And shein tach hashein, you knock out his teeth. And then the halacha Moshe Messinai says no, that the Torah Shebaal Peh says no, Torah Shebaal Peh is always lahakel. So there's such a balamor and a ran in Masechah Shabbos, but they say also the Mabadal Aram is Bishus Arabim, the Gemara says Hilchas Ogmiri lo. So they understood also it's halacha Moshe Messinai. But they raised the question, how can Mabadal Aram be halacha Moshe Messinai? So how come you give Malkus on Yontif if a person carries unnecessarily? How come you give Misa on Shabbos? How come you give Koris on Shabbos? If he's Maradala, how do you have an ownership? It's only known through Halacha L'Moshe Messinai. So they say it must be that it's Halacha L'Moshe Messinai that it's considered Moitza Meshus L'Shus. That if I have a chayfet sitting in the middle of Meshus HaRabim, so Dal HaRam is around it is the Mokum of the chayfets. And if I pick it up and I put it down five Amos away, I was Moitza Meshus from its original Meshus to a new Meshus. Moitzim Meshus L'Shus, not only from Meshus HaYachid to Meshus HaRabim, Meshus HaRabim to Meshus HaYachid, from the Meshus of the Chayfetz to a new Meshus of the Chayfetz. So that's the Balamor in Shabbos and Dafayin Gimel, and they run later in Shabbos, in the beginning of Perek HaZarik, they both write like that. The Halacha L'Moshe Messina always has to be Lahakel. That's like the Rosh there in the second Perek in Bava Kamma, always has to be Lahakel, and you can't have any Koris, you can't have any Misa, you can't have any Malkus, you can't have any Onshin. And Anisa, that's only halacha l'moshe m'sina. So that's how the Rambam understood the Gemara in the end of Zvachim. That if Nisa Hamayim is only halacha l'moshe m'sina, so it can't be that a menasach meha chag bechag should be chayiv koreis, should be chayiv chatos, because you never have a koreis on a halacha l'moshe m'sina. Yeah, what is the difference with Yidarshin unisachecho, or Yidarshin mem yud mem? So the Briske Rav quotes a Yerushalmi has a suffix. Let's say we brought the Tmidim today is Thursday. We brought the Tmidim, we ran out of wine. We didn't bring the Nisach HaYayin today. So the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, Mechosim in this game, Afilu Mikan Bar Asara Yomim. I can do the Nisach HaYayin tomorrow. The Gemara just has a suffix. If I do, I brought a Tamid today and I do Nisach HaYayin tomorrow, do I sing the Shir Shal Yom of Thursday or do I sing the Shir Shal Yom of Friday? Because I'm being menasach the wine on Friday, but it's from yesterday. It's from Thursdays. Allah Ta'ala menasach, I ran out of wine and I do the Nisach HaYayin a year later. So a year later is a different day of the week also. So which Shir Shal Yom do you say? So Gemara has such a discussion in Erechin. Which Shir Shal Yom do you say? So the Yerushalmi has a suffix. What if they didn't do the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot? They brought the Tmidim, but they didn't do the Nisach HaMayim. Did he say Nisach HaMayim also? And Chos, when this came, Afilim Mikan, Bar Asar Yamim, they're going to come Chanukah. They're going to say, hey, we forgot to do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. We brought the Tmidim, we didn't do Nisach HaMayim. Is Nisach HaMayim a separate independent korban, which is over Yom HaBotel Korban? You have to do the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. Otherwise, you missed out. Or you say, no, Unisachah. It's the, there are two Nisuchim, just like the Nisach HaYayin of the Tmidim Shal Yom Tom and Shal Yom of Sukkot can be brought Mikan Bar Afilo Asara Yomim later. You can bring it on Chanukah way after Sukkot. So maybe the Nisach HaMayim of Sukkot also can be done later. Or let's say, Fakert, let's say you have no behemoths. You can't be makir of any tmidim. You ran out of behemoths, but you didn't run out of water. Would it make sense to do Nisach HaMayim if you're not bringing the tomid? Okay, the Yerushalmi has a suffix. Can you do Nisach HaMayim leil yontif? You didn't bring the tomid yet. The tomid is only going to be brought in the morning. Can you do Nisach HaMayim before bringing the tomid? If it's unisacheho, if it's nisuchim, in conjunction with the Tamid, the first you have to bring the Tamid, and then you bring the Nisach HaMayim. You can't bring the Nisach HaMayim before the Tamid. So this is all Sfeikas in the Yerushalmi. So that's what Rav Elbele said. That's exactly what the Sufik is, and it should depend on the Drosha from the Pasuk, whether Nisach HaMayim is a Nisach in conjunction with the Tamidim, so has to follow the Tamidim, can be 10 days later. What do you say? No, it's an independent Korban. And if you learn that Mem Yud Mem, then the Gemara says, that's a big chiddush. What if you write a Sefer Torah and the word Tamimim, so you have three mems in the word Tamimim. Two of them are mem psucha in the middle of the word, and the last mem is a mem stuma, a closed mem. So the Gemara says that if you write a Sefer Torah, Tefillah Mezuzah, you write a mem stuma instead of a psucha, instead of a stuma, the Gemara quotes a brisa that it's possible. Because it says, Uchsav Tom al Mezuzah Beisecha v'sherecha. So uchsav tom, the simple translation is uchsav tem oisom. You should write the parshios. But an additional level of interpretation is uchsav tom, you should do a ksiva tama. It should be a correct, it should be a perfect spelling. It should be a correct spelling. So you shouldn't write a mem stuma where it's supposed to be a mem psuch. You shouldn't put a mem psuch, it's supposed to be a mem stuma. But then the Gemara says, this tana holds it, but he evit it's kosher. He takes the mem from... takes the mem from the Yom HaSheni V'Niskehem, that's a mem stuma, and that serves as the first mem in the word. Then Unisachehu Yom HaShishi, then he takes the mem Kimishpatam, that's a final mem, that's a mem stuma, on the Yom HaShvi, and he spells out the word Maim. So the Gemara has to spell out the word Maim, but the first mem on the Yom HaSheni V'Niskehem, that's a mem stuma. So this Tana holds that a mem stuma instead of a mem psucha is kosher b'riyevet. Doesn't necessarily mean the reverse also, that a psuch instead of a stuma is also good, so the Gemara is not sure. Maybe a mem stuma is a higher level. Maybe a stuma can substitute for a psucha, but a psucha can't substitute for a stuma. But the Gemara takes this, that this is not stama nasmach to be on. The Gemara says that this Tana who holds, it's a drosha of mem yud mem, this is a drosha Gemara, it's not a balaturim. This is a real drosha Gemara, and it's based on the assumption that a mem stuma can substitute for a mem psucha. And a Sefer Torah. So there are really three different shitas in the Gemara. How do you know the institution, only known through the Torah Shebaal Peh, but how do you know this institution of Nisach HaMayim? Is it based on pure halacha l'mashe m'Sinai? There is no way to read it in between the lines. Or no, it's based on a drosha, either the drosha of Mem Yud Mem, or it's based on the drosha Unisocheho. The Gemara also says if it's based on Mem Yud Mem, it only starts on the second day of Sukkot. And the first day you won't have Nisach HaMayim. Because the drushes begin from the second day. Second day it says v'niskehem. So the first day chalamoy tzukkah, they say. The first day yontav sukkah is, according to that tana, there won't be any nisach hamayim. The Gemara has different opinions when do you start saying the same talamotah. So one tana says, the whole purpose of the nisach hamayim is kedei l'ratzo salamayim. Not when do you say the same talamotah, when do you start saying mashavoch merda geshem, when do you bench geshem. Saint Talamata, that's we had the Gemara, Zayin Cheshvin. Machlokes Hatanan, we pass on Zayin Cheshvin, and but when do you start saying Mashu Veroch Mered HaGeshem? So we start on Shmini Atzeres, Yibench Geshem on Shmini Atzeres. The other Tana says, Yibench Geshem on the second day of Sukkot, when you start doing Nisach HaMayim. He holds there's no Nisach HaMayim on the first day, because it's based on Mem Yud Mem, and the Mem, the first Mem, is on Viniskehem, is on the second day. So the Nisach HaMayim is Kedei L'Ratzos HaLamayim, so that's what the Mashav HaRuach is also Kedei L'Ratzos HaLamayim. So the Machlek is whether there was Nisach HaMayim on the first day. Machlek is whether Nisach HaMayim on the Shmini, on Shmini Atzeres. All the Tanoim who have all of these Machlekes, and they all lived after the Churban HaBayis. So there's nobody alive who remembered what the practice was.
It could also make a difference whether where they poured it, whether the seppel was attached to the mizbeach, or whether they poured it separately from a separate cup down to the end of the shisim.
Whether what?
I remember this machlekes, the Rashi tells us whether where they poured the mayim, whether it was poured in the same place where the nisuch hayayim was poured.
Right, the mission says there were two pipes, right? There was one pipe where they did Nisach HaMayim, one pipe where they did Nisach HaYayim, yeah. So the mission says they were both ends simultaneously. The wine is thicker than the water, so the water flows faster. So the Gemara says that they would make the pipe with the water narrower, so they were both ends at the same time. Otherwise, the Nisach HaMayim would always be finished before the Nisach HaYayim. They were poured into a big bowl and the bowl would go down. So they tried to arrange it in such a way that it should happen at the same time. It should be finished at the same time. Mm-hmm. Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to be the Malach HaBris. That's how the Navi Malachi signs up. Malachi was the last, Navi Chagas Chai Malachi were the last three Nevi'im at the beginning of the Tkufas by Sheni. Kodesh Baruch Hu was angry at the Bnei Yisrael, so he didn't want to send any Nevi'im. But he had to send the Nevi'im, had to send three Nevi'im to supervise the building on the second Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash without authorization of a Navi. That's learned out from the Pasuk of the Shif Nesidishu, of Vasa Shamad Rosh Al Pi Navi. So he had to send Chagas Chai Malach. So Malachi is signing off. He knows that he's the last Navi. So he says, Zichu Daris Moshe Avdi, you better observe all the mitzvahs, because the Rebbe Shalom, I'm going to be the last Navi. No other Navi is going to come to give you Tochach until Hilenech Shalach Lechem. Eliyahu Navi is going to come the day before Biyas HaMashiach. So Eliyahu Navi is the Navi who's going to be the Navi of the Gula. That's why Matzoy Shabbos we sing Eliyahu Navi. Because we have a tradition, Eliyahu Navi is not going to come Muftach Lam LeYisrael. Eliyahu Navi is not going to come Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. We talk about to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. To make a Kabbalah's Ponim, a reception for Mashiach. The Gemara never talks, more talks about a Kabbalah's Ponim for Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come the day before Mashiach. So the Gemara says, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Rebbein Shalom is going to give us a break. Everybody's running around like a chicken without a head, making preparations for Shabbos, running, bumping into each other, making Nezikin and Bava Kama, and Erev Shabbos running. So Rebbein Shalom is not going to do that Avla. He's going to send Eliyahu HaNavi. He's not going to send him Lo Barav Shabbos, Lo Barav Yamim Tov. Can Eliyahu HaNavi come on Shabbos or on Yontif? So Gemara says it's a question of Tchum and Lamayla Me'asor. Somehow they assume he's going to fly in the air. He's not going to be riding a horse. The Pesach is going to be Ani V'Rochev Al Chamor. Mashiach is going to be a humble person coming on a donkey. But Eliyahu HaNavi is going to fly in the air, not as a Malach. As a Malach, you can fly on Shabbos also as a human being. So the Gemara in Erevin is not sure whether there's Tchum and Lamayla Me'asor. So we pass in Lahokel. Because we paskin all of Tchumin is only the Rabbanim, we paskin Lahakol. But the Gemara is not sure whether Eliyahu HaNavi can come on Shabbos. So right after Shabbos is over, we sing Eliyahu HaNavi should come. Eliyahu HaNavi is the Navi who's going to announce that tomorrow Mashiach will be identified. Okay, we're waiting already a long time. He should come. Okay, I want to wish everybody a pleasant summer. Learn up a storm. Have a tzlocha. Amen. Very nice. Shabbat brachas last night. Oh, yeah. Very good. Very special.